Hallihallo und herzlich willkommen zum Saatkorn Podcast. Ja, es gibt ja so Podcast-Folgen, da ist man sehr, sehr glücklich, dass man den Gast am Start hat. Heute ist es der Fall und ist ein English-Speaking-Gast. Es ist jemand, den ihr alle kennen werdet und ich werde jetzt auf Englisch switchen. Hi everybody, so this is Gero from the Saatkorn Podcast. I'm super proud to have somebody here on the podcast. You will all know, I'm pretty sure about that. And it's Josh Bersin from the Josh Bersin Company. And everybody who is interested in HR tech will have heard about his name. So welcome to Saatkorn, Josh.
Thank you, Gero. I'm very excited to be here.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the show. So before we dwell into the topics, just give us a quick overview. You're running now the Josh Bersin Company for more than 6 years. But how did this all start? So you did several other things before.
It was very accidental, as most people's careers are. I spent about 20 years in the tech industry, working for IBM for 10 years, for Sybase for 8 years, and then went to work for a startup company in 1998 doing online learning. For those of you that remember back that long ago, that was when the internet was just beginning. Yeah. Seems funny, but it wasn't that long ago. And then in the 2000 downturn, I was laid off. I started a company with some other guys. We sold it. I got laid off and there were no jobs at the time. And I decided I wanted to be an analyst. And so I started doing research and writing reports and doing projects for vendors and other things. And it turned out there was a lot of opportunity and need for someone like me to explore the space. And it started in online learning and then moved into all different areas of HR. So that was what happened.
That's a fascinating story.
It's a 45-year career in 1 minute.
Thanks. And I think it's fascinating because it's truly entrepreneurial, which I really like. And how many people are now with the Josh Bersin Company today as we speak in November 2024?
We have about 45 people. We're not super big, but we do a lot and we're very productive and we have people all over the world, so it's been really fun. We're not trying to build a giant company, but we really want to try to keep up on all these things that are going on out there and make sure everybody can take advantage of all the changes going on in human resources.
With the background that you have in terms of being an analyst and also being an HR tech expert, I suppose it's more about scalability and analytics than about the number of
the thing is, because I spend so much time in tech, I have no intimidation by technology. So we pretty much try to use everything we can. And so some of the things we write about are things we actually use. Galileo is a perfect example. So you don't have to be a giant company to use great technology these days.
That's what I just wanted to say. So it's more about the scale you can reach with using technology instead of having hundreds of employees. So I think that's the story behind these things. But we can dwell on more of this. When I saw you last time, it was in Las Vegas on the HR Tech Conference. I had the pleasure to talk with you after your great, great keynote. And obviously, when we're talking about the trends for 2025, since we're already at the end of this year, I'm pretty sure that a lot of these things you mentioned are truly important things for the next year as well. So perhaps I wrote down some quotes from you and some topics, and perhaps we can just game around with these things. So the first thing you said, which I really liked, was you can't run HR without HR tech strategy. And it sounds so simple, I mean, given the time we're in, it should be clear to everyone, but quite often I don't have the feeling that this is really clear to everyone.
Well, the thing is, it didn't used to be this way. Exactly. When I started doing this, I would run into all sorts of magnificent companies with great HR departments who really didn't have much technology experience at all, other than, you know, payroll, record keeping, human capital, back end stuff. Now, you know, starting with learning management systems, applicant tracking systems, talent intelligence systems, AI platforms, analytics, pay equity analysis, on and on and on. You know, these things are vital instruments for managing HR itself and getting to know what's going on inside of the company. And of course, the HCM market exploded. See, the other thing that changed, of course, Kira, was when everything went into the cloud, every company could buy an HCM system. It used to be you were dependent on the IT department to decide when you were going to get an upgrade. So yeah, it's critical. And virtually every company I talk to now, the first thing they want to talk about is AI and tech. They want to talk about HR too, but it's very core to the success of HR professionals, HR teams.
I think this cannot be emphasized too much, to be really honest, because at least here in Germany, we have the so-called Mittelstand. So that's not really the enterprises, the really huge companies. Obviously, they all have their own HR tech department. But to be super honest, there are still companies that don't have an ATS, even though they might have like 300 employees and also growing. So they need something like that. They still work with Excel in this year. So that's really crazy. And I think it's really important. It also changes the perspective and the role of the CHRO at the end of the day, I think, because technology plays such an integral part of what's happening right now, but even more so in the future, that you can't really just say, hey, I'm in HR because I want to work with people. You really have to cover the tech field. So that's at least my
opinion. And I think for people that work in mid-sized, smaller companies, it's not just the HR leader, but the CEO and the CFO want a platform that keeps track of everything that's going on in the human capital side of the budget, because that's half the expense or more of the company. So I don't think there's a lot of excuse for using Excel anymore, to be honest.
I totally agree.
We use a cloud-based system that costs us, I don't know, $500 a month. It's very inexpensive, but it's fantastic. It does everything. So there's no excuse for not doing it.
Yeah. And then a lot of companies who start using technology, at least in the field of HR tech, where I have some expertise, I see that lots of these companies start with several solutions. So they build one solution next to the other solution. So they might have a solution for talent acquisition, another solution for learning and development, a third solution for this, a fourth solution for that. And I think that's what you call the kitchen drawer problem, right?
Yep.
So,
well, and that has been a problem for as long as I've been around doing this. And I think it will always be a problem because there are very, very specialized features needed in these different functional areas of HR. And very few platform vendors do all of it well. Some do. But if you happen to have an older payroll system that was from a vendor that doesn't have an applicant tracking system, doesn't have a learning management system, et cetera, then you end up having to buy something else. And the next thing you know, you have 2, 3, 4, 5 systems. And now you're in the kitchen drawer problem.
This is a very, very old discussion, because you might say, well, at the end of the day, you need a suite. But there's other people who say, but I want the best in class solution for, let's say, recruitment, and that's not included in this suite. So there's always this discussion going on, do I take a suite or do I use best in class solutions? And as far as I understood you, you said, well, probably in the future, that's not the major question. Perhaps it's even more the thought how to connect all HR tech. That's a quote also.
Well, that's the key, is if you decide you need a new platform for one feature that you can't get somebody somewhere else, before you implement it, look at the data that's going to be captured by the new system and make sure it's connected to the existing systems. That sounds like a waste of time, but it really pays off in the future. And I think the reality of it is, it is virtually impossible to run a company without more than one HR platform. It's just it's just the way it goes. A time and attendance system, some sort of a special reporting tool, payroll add-ons in different countries, things like that. But as long as they're connected together and there's good integrations, it's not that hard to manage it, because you want to make sure you know employee by employee what's going on amongst the whole ecosystem of applications that employee is using. And I've been, you know, I've given up on waiting for one vendor to do everything. It's just not going to happen.
I would also agree. And then again, if we talk about the development of AI and how fast and exponentially this develops at the end of the day, there's also obviously the term agentic AI. And right. Me coming from Germany, I heard about that before, but this was really the overarching topic of the Las Vegas conference, at least from my perspective. So it's really about having all these agents. It's like, I understood it that way. It's like a software AI layer with several agents that really communicate with the underlying HR tools. So that
So where we are right now is the AI agents are very new, but their capabilities are vastly superior to the existing platforms we have. And nobody's going to throw out the stuff they have. So Oracle, SAP, Workday, whatever, ADP, whatever your backend systems are. This year, 2025, you're going to get all these fantastic tools that'll do recruiting better, do learning better, do employee experience better, do case management better, and they'll be AI-based, and they will probably sit on top of these existing systems. And the vendors that sell the existing platforms want you to use their AI, but they're adding it on slowly. So, and I think the impact of AI is going to be extraordinarily disruptive, because not only are these good tools for searching and finding and consuming information, they can generate content, they get smarter, they have a history of what you've done with them, so they know who you are, they can coach you. They're very, very different than the existing technology we've had in the past. So there's almost a break between the type of technology we've had for the last 50 years and these new tools. And year by year, we're going to see this AI technology eat into the core of all these other applications.
Are there any modes that the traditional software providers could use to avoid this agentic AI tools using?
No, they're all part of it. They understand. I mean, they're all aware of the issue, and they all want to build agentic tools of their own. The problem they have is they have a lot of product managers and engineers working on the current stuff, and they have payroll and recruiting and other things going on already. So the market's so new, it's not clear who the big player will be a piece, RAI, but there'll be others, ServiceNow, Microsoft, others, SAP. And, you know, I think the most complete strategy of an integrated vendor is SAP. SAP built this entire system called Joule that looks at all of the applications in SAP, not just the human capital and success factors. And you can ask it questions and learn things and iterate with it across all of the suite. They're way ahead of everybody else. So SAP customers do have a sort of a single point solution. The rest of the market, not yet.
Interesting. The difference of AI platforms compared to older platforms is also something you mentioned, and you said it now in a subtle, implicit way, but it's the user interface. That's a very major difference, because now it's more like a conversational tool, whereas in the past you had a screen, like an interface. So that's really a difference everybody can understand.
That's a huge difference, but there's another difference that's probably even bigger, which is that the AI system is a learning system.
Yes.
So, you know, in a normal transactional system, if you do the same transaction over and over, it's always the same. In the AI system, the more you use it, the smarter it gets about you and what you're trying to do. So it should start to feel like your friend or your assistant, not your transactional platform. So, and you know, that means that it may not wait for you. It might come to you and say, "Hey, Josh, did you know this thing you were working on yesterday changed? Would you like an update?"
Yeah.
So it's very different.
But it's a truly exciting time to be in this market. At least that's how I feel. Let's talk a little bit about what you are doing with your company. You have your own product, Galileo. So Perhaps you can explain what it does and how did the
Sure.
idea of Galileo came up?
Well, this is the most exciting thing I've ever been involved in, to be honest. So we've been doing research for 25 years, and we have these, tens of thousands of pages of case studies and vendor analysis and maturity models and benchmarks and things, including vendor information. And about 2 years ago, we did an experiment, and we loaded all that content into ChatGPT, and we built a front end. And it turned out it was an exceptionally good problem-solving tool and search tool and diagnostic and content generation tool for HR, because we have literally studied almost every nook and cranny and dimension of HR over all these years, but they've been written in independent reports. So when somebody would call us up and say, "How do I do campus hiring better?" Well, we would say, "Okay, well, there's a research report on that here. Go read this." We don't have to do that anymore. You can ask Galileo any question about HR, and it will find the answer, generate the answer, show you the sources, and recommend other questions to continue on your journey towards solving a problem. And as we rolled it out, and it was just exceptionally useful, people started to ask it questions about things that we had not studied. They asked questions about employment practices, certain benchmarks we didn't have. So we built a content partnership program to add what we call trusted content in addition to ours. So it's really powerful now. It is a coach, advisor. You can ask it about vendors. It'll create RFPs. It'll create behavioral interviews. It'll show you skills around jobs. It keeps up on the job market. It has data in it about the unemployment rate. I mean, you can really use it for what we call your everyday assistant for everything HR. And for us as a publishing and research company, it's a way for us to distribute and syndicate our content to thousands of people without having to write reports and force them to log into a website and search for things all the time. And even better than all of that is it can do things that we never did. It because it has so much content in one domain, it gets smarter all the time. And that's where I think AI is going, is rather than having one generic AI that can try to do everything at once, when the AI is narrow, like a medical diagnostic AI or an AI that's good at legal or an AI that's good at HR, it can get very, very smart, very, very fast, and literally almost predict the question you're going to ask to help you go and solve a problem. So we're really excited about it. And we offered it originally to our corporate members. So there were about 6 or 7,000 people who got access to it in the beginning. Then we created a consumer version of it, which we call Galileo Professional, which has about 2,000 people that have bought it. So it's out there, and we're going to put a lot more energy into it.
I might add, I'm one of those 2,000.
Oh,
So
great.
it's really a great tool, and I can suggest it to everybody working in HR. But the thing is also, I
It
mean,
also
it
speaks
might,
German, by the way, I think.
yeah, and I think a lot of other languages as well, right? So, but what's the vision? Let's imagine there's 5 years down the road. What can Galileo do then? What's your vision
Well,
of Galileo?
there's three things we're adding to it. First of all, more and more content and real-time content. So, things that are daily updates on jobs and so forth. The second is learning. We're taking our academy, which is in a different system, and we're going to be merging it with Galileo. So you could ask Galileo a question and it could answer the question, or it could show you a video, or it could open a course, or it could give you a credential and access other people in those courses. The third is agentic capabilities into back-end platforms. So we're building initially an integration to Workday. So Galileo will connect to Workday. And if you're a Workday customer, you'll be able to buy a version of Galileo that will connect to your tenant. And then you could ask it questions about your Workday system. If you're a manager, it could find the employees that work for you. It could look at their salaries if you're going to do salary bonus calculations and so forth. So that's the third area. And then the fourth is I really would like it to turn into a coach. And the technology that's in GPT-O and some of the other, because the Galileo uses multiple LLMs, is reaching the point where we have a sort of a personality. So you can create Galileo personalities, and Galileo could be a recruiter, or Galileo could be an L&D professional, or Galileo could be a CHRO coach. And so all of those are things that I think are possible that we'll be able to do over the next couple of years.
And it's fascinating. What's your vision in terms of how much work will be done by tools, machines, AI, whereas
There's a big report that's going to come out in January. I just finished writing, which is our predictions report that goes through a bunch of scenarios. I think it's a lot. I don't think it's the same as automating what we do by hand. I think it actually does more. So if you take, for example, the job of a recruiter to write a job description, the simple, approach is you throw the job description information into ChatGPT and it writes a description. But imagine if the agent went out and sent emails to all of the people in the department and asked them for their input on what they believe the job requirements are and recorded their answers and then consolidated that information, sent that information to the leader, to the hiring manager, to review, to prioritize the requirements of the job, then looked at the job skills required in the outside market, then looked at the cities and locations where those skills are most available, then looked at the job salaries for those jobs in the location that you're going to hire this person, and then created the job description, and then went out and sourced candidates. All of that can be done by AI. Now, that's a whole bunch of manual steps that require data by many people to do. That's just one example of where we are here. Now, in the first year of having agentic AI, now nobody's built quite that entire system yet, but there's vendors working on it. And Galileo can do a lot of those things too. So there's use cases. We're going to release a report this month with 100 use cases for Galileo that are very, very powerful. They're not simple things like writing an article or sending an email. And I think we're just scratching the surface. So we're going to have to really rethink these jobs so that we can take advantage of this very, very powerful data-driven technology that we now have access to.
Obviously, this is a very old question. I'm super sure that you had to answer this question 1,000 times already. But in terms of, let's say, 5 to 10 years down the road, do we still need an HR department or not? So it's an old question.
We will always need an HR department because human beings are human. We have feelings and opinions and imperfections and biases. And, yes, the AI will get smarter and smarter and smarter, but people will need to tune the AI. People will need to update it. We'll still need to deal with people's feelings and people's personal opinions and the culture. So what we're going to do, though, is we're going to get out of a lot of the manual data-driven stuff, transactional stuff that we have to do. The example that I use a lot is when the vacuum cleaner was invented, I'm sure people were very happy to sweep the floor and they enjoyed the process of sweeping their kitchen floor because it made them feel good about cleaning the floor. I don't think anybody misses that anymore. Now the vacuum cleaner does it and you can feel good about cooking dinner instead of cleaning up after yourself. I think there's many, many analogies like that that'll take place, but we're still going to have HR departments for a long, long time.
Love it. It's an optimistic outlook. And I, of course, I agree. Last question for this session. Zartkorn has a claim, inspiration for a better working world. So you already said, obviously, several inspirational things. But perhaps there was something that you read, heard, perhaps you had a conversation that inspired you. Is there anything that comes to your mind?
Well, yeah, I just had a call this morning with one of our JBA members. I use the phrase, the unquenchable power of the human spirit. And what that really came to me during the pandemic when we were all under a lot of stress. But the interesting thing about humans that machines do not have is we are very adaptable learning creatures. And so when something like AI comes along or some other disruption, maybe it's, a war or a recession or, all sorts of strange things could happen. People adapt. People find ways to add value around these changes. And the woman that I was just talking to this morning is a woman that has been a client of ours since the pandemic. She's had four or five different jobs, and she is thriving in her role because she's constantly reinvented herself over and over again. And I think that's the most inspiring thing to me of being in HR, is that we're a part of reinventing not only organizations, but people, allowing people to reinvent themselves. And I don't think that's ever going to go away, no matter how complicated or uncertain things become with AI or anything else. So if that makes you feel a little bit inspired about being in HR, hopefully that will help.
Yeah, well, I think it's even bigger than just an answer for being in HR. It's a mindset question. Yeah, do you want to grow or not at the end of the day? So, Josh, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for taking the time, and I wish you all the best with your Börsen company, but obviously also with Galileo. I will include the links within the show notes. And hope to talk to you soon. All right? Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So, das war diese Saatkorn-Podcast-Episode. Ich hoffe, dir hat Spaß gemacht und sie hat dir gefallen. Bevor ich jetzt hier rausgehe, noch ein kleiner Tipp für dich. Abonniere doch kostenlos meinen Saatkorn-Newsletter. Dann gibt es jeden Sonntag alle Podcasts, alle News, alle Artikel, alle Verlosungen, alles, was ich auf Saatkorn so mache, gratis in dein Mailpostfach, und du hast bequem alles an einem Ort und verpasst nichts mehr. Das Ganze kostet, wie gesagt, nichts. Den Link zum Abo gibt's in den Shownotes. Würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns da wieder treffen. Ganz lieben Dank und bis bald. Ciao.